I'm glad we have an anchor that will help us. And the tempest may rise, and it does rise. The storms may howl, and they do howl. But thankful this morning that our God is a ever-present help in a time of trouble. And he gives to us the things needed in our lives that we can not only survive in this world, but also to be an encouragement to others about this thing called Christianity. Our world and our country is certainly not a friend. And when you study history, governments have never been a friend to Christianity. They've never been a friend to the child of God. And we have a different belief. We have a different standard. And ours is according to the righteousness that comes through Christ. And so therefore the world that knows not Christ, they're not going to understand us. But he's given us some things that we are able to be able to present him to this world. And this morning I want us to turn into the book of the Gospel of John, chapter number 3. The Gospel of John, chapter number 3. And you pray for my voice, all of a sudden it doesn't feel real well. It doesn't sound right to me, so it may not sound right to you. In John chapter number 3, verse number 33, the scripture says, "Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, and ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." In this world of very loose Christianity, we hear a lot today about the love of God, and that God loves us so much that he condones everything that we do, and it's okay, and we can get by, and all those things about the love of God. They forget to tell us that there's another side of the Lord, and that's the wrath of God, or the judgment of the Lord. And God does not overlook the things that we perform, and does not overlook the things we do. But as a child of God, he has given us a very different characteristic than the world has in their everyday living. He tells them here, he said in verse number 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." And then he sort of references the type of love that we are to have to each other is the same love that he has for us. And thank God this morning he does love us. He cares about every need that we have, about everything that comes our way. God recognizes that, and he has care for us. But he says we are to love one another. And he says, "By this all men shall know that ye are my disciples." I want us to think this morning how we are known by our love. The child of God's love that comes only from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here, in verse number 33, he says, "Yet a little while I am with you." Now, Jesus was speaking there to his disciples and trying to make them understand that he's not going to be there with them all the time. From that moment on, for a little season, he is going to be with them. And he says, "I've already told the Jews this," those unbelievers and those others that are looking after him, as I said to the Jews, he says, "Where I go, you cannot come to that." But he says, "I give to you a new commandment, that you love one another." Now, Jesus says here, "I'm going to be with you for a little season." I'm glad spiritually the Lord Jesus Christ is with us continually. We have his presence before us. We have His presence within us. We have the Holy Spirit that lives there. And I looked up that little phrase, I am with you. Jesus only said that two times. One of those times here, and the other is found in Matthew 28:20, when he says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so we find that Jesus is with them personally, and he's with us spiritually in our life, and will be with us. And Jesus, he said, I'm just with you. We know the scripture tells us in the Gospel of John that Jesus had a number of times that he says, I am certain things with the Lord. I got a little message yesterday, sort of caught my attention, renewed some thoughts that I'd already knew about, but is all there before you. It says Jesus in John 15 says, I am the true vine. I'm glad, thank God, he is the vine. We are the branches, and he is there with us in that. He says, I'm the bread of life, the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I'm the light of the world. I'm the resurrection. I'm the good shepherd, and I'm the door. And so we find that Jesus says, I'm with you always, even to the end of this age. And I believe the world knows and can identify the child of God this morning by the type of love we express to them. And I'm not talking about the kind of love the world thinks about or the world has. I'm talking about the love that God has put in our heart toward people, toward men, women, boys and girls that need to come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God gives us a true characteristic of a saved person, and that number one is that we love those around us. Without love, our world doesn't have much meaning. If we don't have some expression of concern about those around us, of our family, of our friends, and people that we know, if we do not care about them, then our world is very, very dim and very shallow, because we are to show forth the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our beliefs don't amount to much if we don't express it. What we say we believe and what we show we believe need to be the same thing. Our walk should go along with our talk. And so our beliefs are nothing if we don't express that to the world. Our talents, our gifts, our service, all of those things are null and void if we do not express those things through the love of God that has drawn us and saved us. Therefore, we should tell them the same thing. So without love, and really we don't have a life worth a whole lot as far to other people. The scripture tells us that as a believer, we are bound and rooted and grounded in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the love of God. We are in that grounded truth that God loves us. He tells them here, he says, you're to have the same love of which I loved you with, and the type of love that we have. And we are, according to Colossians chapter number 2, the Bible says that we are knit together in love, and we are bound together, we are knit together, we are grounded in truth and rooted in the message of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is evidenced in our life by the salvation that we have experienced. Thank God this morning I could raise my hand or I can raise my voice and I can tell the world that I have been born again. And it's simply because of the love that Jesus showed us. We that are saved, we that are going to heaven, it's not because of what we experienced or what we did, but it's what God gave to us in that life-giving blood of the Lord Jesus there upon Calvary. And we came to realize one day that we needed him, and therefore we trust him. Our service is according to the love of Christ. And the Bible says the love of Christ constrains us. That word constrain means puts a boundary upon us. We are constrained by the love of God that we are to do certain things and not do certain things and to live and to be a life that's filled with the Spirit of the Lord, that we can show others that fruit of the Spirit, that is love, according to Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. And we have the path that God has given us. Ephesians 5:2 says that we walk in love. And so so many times we say, well, I've heard all the different things about love. I'm just sort of not too interested in that, but you and I, we are We are constrained, we are bound, we are knit together, we are walking together in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ because of what He did and how that we are to convey Him in our life to others that they might come to know Jesus Christ also. And so this morning I want us to just think about how that we are known by our love. How that we are described in the Scripture and how that people can recognize who we are because of what God has put within us as a believer, as a Christian. First of all, we are known by our love, and so therefore we are called believers. I love the term believer. This morning we have a lot of people, they have different terminology and have different tags on their name of who they are, what describes them. But I believe the greatest thing for a child of God is that we are believers, that we believe upon Him and we believe Him. That shows our convictions of life, certain things that we do stand for and certain things that we do believe. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 14, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women." So they, in the New Testament, those that are saved were called believers. This morning, you and I, as a Christian, we are believers. We believe Him. We trust Him. And what a wonderful thing it is to be known as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have certain convictions that we follow. First Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." So be an example of what Christianity is all about. If you listen to the news and if you read the different news articles and if you hear other people talk, you will have no idea what a Christian really is supposed to be and what a Christian is according to the Scripture. Everybody's a believer today. You can go to Walmart this morning or tomorrow and you can go down the streets and you'll find that most people will say that, "Oh, I'm a believer. I believe in God. I believe in the Lord. I believe in heaven. I believe in hell." But to be a true Christian, we believe more than that. We have a conviction that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that He died for us upon Calvary and took all of our sins and put them upon His flesh and carried them a way that we would never be convicted of sin ever again. And we have convictions about what we stand for and what we believe. So therefore we are Christians according to the definition of the Word of God. They were first called Christians at Antioch, the Scripture says. So we have a conviction. Everybody that says they're going to heaven doesn't mean necessarily they're going to heaven. And everybody that is religious is not going to heaven. And everybody that dies is not in heaven looking down upon us. And so we must understand the biblical term of a Christian, of a believer, that we have a understanding that it is a narrow is the way. A broad way leads to destruction, that narrow is the way that leads us to God or to eternal life. And that narrow way means there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. We don't get to heaven any other way. And I know I'm telling you something you already know and already believe, but we go to heaven because we have a very narrow view of who Jesus is and what He did upon Calvary and who He did it for. And so we find that we are known by the love that we have because of the way that we live or the life that God gives us and the convictions that we have in our life. You can strike up a conversation with many people today and you'll find out that you will not agree with what they think a Christian is. They have all kind of knowledge. Or you would not agree with what they would say would take somebody to heaven. At one time years ago, I got on the phone and just called some random numbers and asked people, how do you go to heaven? They didn't know me. I didn't know them. It's been a long time ago. And the different answers I got was astounding. very few people would say, well, it's only because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many would say, well, you go to heaven because you trust the Lord, and then they give off a whole list of things that they had to do, they thought, in order to find the smile of the Lord upon their life. Well, I'm glad this morning that the only way we go to heaven is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not what we do other than our belief and trust. It's not what we have accomplished. It's not what we are able to add to it. But we're saved by the grace of God because the faith that God gives to us brings us to salvation. And so therefore, we have certain convictions and we are called believers. And the love of God in our heart and the love that God has shown to us has brought us to that position. Now, you and I this morning, we may, on certain issues of the Scripture, we may have some differences and some disagreements, but when it comes down to how to get to heaven, I guarantee you, most of us would say it's all through Jesus Christ. It's all because of Him, and that is our conviction. A conviction is something we don't change our mind upon. It doesn't matter how many people are different. It doesn't matter how many people have what they consider good arguments. And there are religions all across here that have a lot of good arguments why they believe what they believe about how to go to heaven. Many of them will use this book, but they do not rightly divide it. They do not build one precept upon another. You'd be surprised how many people think you've got to do something else other than trust the Lord. But it is our conviction and our understanding that we're saved by grace through faith, and therefore God has given us His love, and I can tell people about the same love. If you're not truthful with folks, they'll never have truth about the Lord. And so we are known this morning as believers. We are known this morning as those that trust the Lord, and that is our convictions. Our convictions do not change with as the weather changes. Our convictions do not change as the arguments change. Our convictions stay steadfast and sure because we are believing and trusting what the Word of God tells us. We are known by our love, not only by our convictions and being called believers, but the Bible says that we have a company of people that are called brethren and sisters in the Lord. We are in the same family. This morning, it doesn't matter what our name is. It doesn't matter what background we have or where we come from or what nationality we are a part of in days gone by of our ancestors. But we are believers. Therefore, we are in the same family as the company that we keep. And thank God we are known by God's love upon us. If you'd ask people what desire they have, they would say, many of them say, just to know that I have someone that loves me, someone that cares for me. I'm glad that we, through our expression and our hope of Christ, that we can tell them there's someone that does love them, and His name is Jesus. Every religion of this world and the heathen of this world, they fear what they worship, but you and I, we can go boldly to the throne of grace. We can go boldly to Him because of what He has given to us. And so therefore we are brothers in the Lord. Different names, different walks of life, different ancestry. But through the blood of the Lord, we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're the family of God, and we are named together as God's people. So this morning, it's a wonderful thing to be called brethren. It's a wonderful thing to be called believers. It's a wonderful thing to know that we have a fellowship of people that love the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if they speak English or Korean or German or Russian. It doesn't matter where they are or where they're from. As a blood-bought Christian, we are believers together and have a company of believers that follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are known by this expression of our love one to another. You know why America has always been one of the greatest nations as far as giving to those that have need in days gone by is because we are sympathetic, we have feelings, we have love, and so therefore we want to help people that are in great need. That's the company that we keep. That's the brotherhood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This scripture calls us disciples. The word disciple means that we are a follower of. We are learning of Him. We are following after Him. And so therefore we are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. I read yesterday, I think it was, that in North Korea, most people, if they become known as a Christian, they lose their life. That is commitment. All around this world, there are people this morning that are suffering because they have that title upon them as a Christian. You and I today, we flourish. We have prosperity. We live in a land where we do not have to worry about who knows what we are. But most of the world is not that way. Most of the world does not have that. And we are followers after the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the commitment of others that are much stronger than even ours, that we have a life of luxury and a life of ease. And they still stand for God in the midst of turmoil and even facing death. You know how they face that? It's because God loves them. Because they've experienced that love that passes all understanding and they're committed to Him. You and I this morning, it doesn't take a whole lot of us, a whole lot of things to keep us and to put us to the point of not being as committed as we should be. That we would follow Him every direction and every step. We can have little things that come up that break our commitment and our service unto the Lord. And I'm glad because of our love that Jesus has shed upon us that we are believers and we are brethren and we are disciples. Even though we falter and fail, we still follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we could say this morning in our Sunday school lesson that Daniel was a disciple of God. He followed after God. He followed the pattern that God had given to him, and he was very committed to the work and even to dying because of what he believed and what he stood for. It has been said that one of the greatest times in church history is the time of persecution, because that persecution will weed out that which is not real, and that which stands is really true and committed to the Lord. We've not faced that too much in our country, but we could face it, and I'll guarantee you there are elements in our world today that would desire for us to have to face whether or not we're really committed to Christ. Are we willing to stand and say, I'm a believer, knowing that that might be the last thing we say, that that might be the last action that we have, and that is commitment. And we do that, and we are able to do that because we know God loves us and that God will take us to heaven one day. He says, a new commandment I give, that you love one another as I have loved you. And by this all men shall know that you are my disciples. Oh, they'll know you're my disciples because of your testimony, no? They'll know you're my disciples because you follow my direction, no? They'll know that we are His because of the love that we express to them. All men shall know that you are my disciples. That's our commitment. Our conduct is that we are Christian followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are followers of the Lord. Acts chapter 11 and verse number 26, I quoted a portion of this verse just a moment ago, says, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The word Christian means follower of or Christ-like. That all comes about because God loves us and God cares for us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 16. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian. So if you're going to suffer, sometimes we suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. How you do that? God's love. He says, so if we suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed. We ought not to be ashamed people look down upon us. We ought not to be ashamed that people sometimes will mock us. They ought not to be ashamed that they make fun of our Bible. We ought not to be ashamed that they make fun of how we live and what we believe, because we are Christian. And really and truly, they expect us to live certain ways. And when we do not, we let down the banner, we let down the standard, and we are not able to follow the direction that God has given unto us, our conduct. How do we live? Day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, are we consistently living for the Lord Jesus Christ? If we are a Christian, then our conduct will show that we are a Christian. If we are a Christian, our convictions will show that we are believers. If we are a child of God, the company that we keep will show that we are brethren in Christ, that we're committed as a disciple to learn and to follow what He has given to us. This book is a great guide. It's really the only guide that we have. We don't need a psychologist. We just need the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need all the things and the teachings that the world gives us from the flesh. We just need a book that is spiritually given to us, spiritually discerned, spiritually lived, and follow and know that God cares about me. Our conduct. These people of Antioch, they were called Christians because they followed the Lord. They were called Christians because they had certain attributes and certain ways of their life that they knew was according to the Lord Jesus Christ and how He lived. Many sometimes could look upon the life of the Lord and then look over to the worlds of the people of the world that were believers, and they saw Christ living in them. The Bible says it's the hope of glory. I'm glad this morning, as a believer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives within our life every moment of every day of every year. From the time we become a child of God to the time we leave this world, aren't you glad He's with you? And our conduct should show to our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, our family, that we are believers, that we are Christian, not just in terminology, but by an action. By this all men shall know. They're going to know who you are, they're going to know what you believe and where you stand, and that's called our character. This morning, the Scripture says in Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 13, the Lord said, I have heard by many of this man, Ananias said, Lord, I've heard many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. You see, those of Jerusalem were known as saints. We have all a wrong conception of what is a saint today. Some people believe they have to be voted upon to be accepted as a saint. Some people believe that their religion has to choose certain ones that's done outstanding, amazing things, and therefore they will choose them and they'll make them a saint. Some of them will pray to those saints. Some of them will have them around their neck. They'll carry them in their pocket, little statues and little emblems of that particular person that is a saint. But you know what this morning? Every one of us in here without a vote that's ever been made, thank God we are saints of God because we know Him. We are Christians. We are His people, and we are known as the saints of the Lord. That verse says, I've heard many of this man, that was Saul, and how that he has caused much evil, and he has done that to the saints at Jerusalem. That was those that believed the Lord Jesus Christ were followers of the Lord. Our characteristic this morning, it's not that we're a saint and that someone makes a little statue of us. Our characteristics more is that we are a saint because we are a Christian, because we have the love of God in our heart, and they express that. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples. The love that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 7. Says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. You and I this morning, we have been called to be the saints of God, to be the child of God, to be the Christian that God would have us to be. And Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, as we live in our world, we can get involved in a lot of things. We can do a lot of things. But the greatest thing that we can show to those around us is that we love them. That we certainly have a compassion toward them. Now, we may not love everything, but I'm talking about loving the individual, the person. If God had looked at my life and God had looked at your life in its fullness, God would not have loved us if it was according to what we were. If it was according to the deeds that we did, God certainly would not love me, and He would not love you. But God loved us as His creation. God loved us as people, realizing and knowing that in order to spend eternity with Him, He would have to give Himself that we might have life. I'm glad this morning that I can be called a believer. I'm glad that this morning that I can be called the brethren of the Lord. We address each other, Brother so-and-so, Brother Bradley, different names we put there. And we do that because that's the company of the believer. We do that because we realize that we're in the same family, and that we realize that God's love has come to them as much as it has to you and I. When I was in the Philippines, we have habit on this side in America, we call each other brother. They don't do that in the Philippines. They don't use that terminology, and I had a hard time because we're used to it. They didn't call me brother. They called me pastor and had different terms. But really and truly, this morning, we are in the same family as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad to be known as a believer and as a brother, as a disciple, as a Christian, as a saint. And by the way, you don't have to wait to get to heaven to be a saint. The moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a saint. The moment that you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a believer. The moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in a group of people that are a company of people that we address as brothers and sisters in Christ. When we become a believer, we start that commitment of following the Lord Jesus Christ in our discipleship and looking unto Him. And certainly, when we become a child of God, we want our life, we want our conduct to be pleasing to the Lord. Paul said, I'm the least. You and I this morning, we feel like we're the least. But our conduct should be one that would be pleasing to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the whole world will recognize you as a believer. Have you ever been in and I'm sure you have, been in a place, whether it be a store or wherever it might be, and you'd watch some people and you'd say, I believe they're Christians. You know why? It's because of their conduct. It's because of the way they handle themselves. And by this, all men shall know that you're my disciples. There is a group of people, religious people, that call themselves disciples of Christ. Well, you and I this morning, we are true disciples of the Lord because we follow Him. Thank God this morning, His love was shown to me. This is a young boy, but I understood that I needed Christ. I understood that I was lost. I understood that without Him, I'd go to hell. Thank God His love brought me from there into life eternal. You may have been young as I. You may have been older. You may have been in middle age or whenever it was. But when the Lord reveals to you who you are, and reveals to you who He is, and we trust Him, we are overshadowed, we are overflown by the love of God. nothing like it in this world. Thank God Jesus loves me. This I know. For this book here, the Bible, tells us so. And we experience it not by reading about it, but by having it shed abroad in our hearts, the love of Jesus Christ. And by this, all men shall know that we are His disciples. Not what we do, but what we receive and what we show. So may the Lord help us this morning in this world. And my, we're living in such a wicked world. Very few people know anything about the love of God. But may they see it in our life. And may we show it to them. The little song says, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Put it under a bushel? Oh no. Let it shine, till Jesus comes." May God help us this morning shed and show the love of Jesus Christ to our family. If I was to have a raise of hands this morning, if anybody had any family members that need to be saved, probably every family in here would raise your hand. I have family members that need the Lord. I have family members all the way across the country, all the way in California. They need the Lord. We converse together, we talk together, and they just need God. They need to see consistency and commitment and love in my heart toward them. And every one of us have people like that in our life. May God help us to show that love as He has loved us to them. Let's stand together this morning.